Today we'll continue looking at how God reveals himself to us by discussing sacred scripture. In addition, we'll look at the Mass readings from Monday of the 19th week in Ordinary Time. Stay where you are. We start now. Hey, happy Monday to you. Welcome to the show. My name is Gary Zimak. We're going to be hanging out together for the next 30 minutes, and I'm really glad you could stop by. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. Today on the program, we'll look at the Mass readings for Monday of the 19th week in Ordinary Time. We'll also, once again, turn to Father John Harden's question and answer, Catholic Catechism, and continue our look at divine revelation, how God reveals himself to us, by looking at sacred scripture. As Catholics, we believe that God reveals himself in two primary ways, through sacred scripture, which is the Bible, and through sacred tradition, which we'll try to talk about that next week on our Monday segment. This is how the Lord speaks through his church, specifically through our Holy Father and the bishops down through the ages, that apostolic or sacred tradition with a capital T. So we'll chat about those things. I want to remind you quickly that Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary begins on September the 4th right here on the program. Get ready. It's going to be unlike any Total Consecration preparation out there, and certainly unlike anyone that I've ever done before. It's the sixth year in a row that I'll be doing this 33-day preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary. Last Thursday, I dedicated a program to it, so if you haven't gotten a chance to download the podcast, make sure you do that to find out a little bit more about what we'll be doing. I'm going to call it this year, I'm call our preparation program the best of the best. We're going to take excerpts from at least six different preparations for total consecration. So you're going to get a mixture each day of a number of different sources. I really think you're going to like this. I really do. This is something I've wanted to do for a long time, in that I've always been tied to one particular book each year, but I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could take the best of the best? This year, the Holy Spirit told me this is the year we're going for it, so we are doing just that. If you have any more questions, please let me know. You can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. More information will be forthcoming, but if you haven't listened to that show yet, make sure you listen to that podcast from last Thursday. It's all about total consecration to Jesus through Mary, and we begin our preparation on September the 4th, which is a Sunday. And the way it will work, just briefly, is we'll do 30-minute programs from Monday through Friday. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we'll do 15-minute programs. I want to keep it a lot more realistic. I want to make sure that you're not overburdened, and I'm sure you'll appreciate that too. And I want to make sure that I'm not overburdened too, because doing 30-minute shows each day and the weekends, it gets a bit burdensome, I have to admit. So I think this is going to work good for all of us. Stay tuned for more information. If you haven't already done so, just make sure you are on my email mailing list or my newsletter, as it says on the website. Go to the right-hand side of any page of followingthetruth.com and simply put in your email address. When you get an email in return, which you will do, make sure you click on the link to let my email service know that you are a real person. That's the reason that it works that way, and you'll be all set. You'll receive further emails at that point. Okay, sound good? As always, if you have questions, let me know. So that's it. The rest of this week, Wednesday, my weekly appearance on the Sunrise Morning Show will not be happening this week because Anna Mitchell is on vacation, so I'll be able to return to that Walking with the Lord segment next week. So you're not going to have me on the Sunrise Morning Show this week, but God willing, I will be here each day, Monday through Friday of this week. I'm actually pre-recording this before I leave for Boston. I will be speaking tonight, I don't know, depending on what time you're listening to this, in Framingham, Massachusetts, at St. Stephen's Parish. The topic is, what if Mary said no? I'm going to talk about the Blessed Mother. I love talking about Mary. It's always a great pleasure when I get to do it. And if you're in the area, please stop by. There is no fee, no cost of admission. I'll have all my books and CDs and DVDs. I'll be there after the talk, and I would love to meet you. What if Mary said no tonight, Monday, August the 8th, at St. Stephen's Church in Framingham, Massachusetts? That's going to be taking place at 7 p.m. All right, I'm going to take a sip of my beverage du jour, which is, by the way, today a nice glass of water with a slice of lemon in it. You can take, feel free to take a sip of your beverage or a bite of your snack. You've got an advantage because you can have a snack. That doesn't work for me. You do radio, you can't eat on the air. That's rule number one. I learned that a long time ago. But you relax, you do whatever you need to do. We're here to talk about Jesus. And I want to thank you for your support. I always start off the show by saying that because I really mean it. Your financial donations help me tremendously. And I know that if you listen to the show, you obviously believe in my work because you wouldn't listen to the show if you didn't. So I always like to mention at the beginning how you can help me. And this is a huge way that you can help me, by sending financial contributions so my work can continue. So thank you for that. If you have not done so and you want to make a financial contribution, please visit followingthetruth.com and click on the donate page, and that'll let you donate securely through PayPal. You could either become a monthly sponsor or make a one-time donation. Also, please don't forget the Amazon and the Mystic Monk links on my website, followingthetruth.com. Whenever you purchase anything from those links on the website, you help me and I get a commission on everything, any purchase that's made. So especially if you're somebody who shops from Amazon anyway, if you would just kindly go to my website and go into Amazon that way, you help me. Even though you don't realize it, you get the same prices as you normally would. I don't get to see what you purchase, but the mere fact that you entered Amazon from the link on my website flags anything you purchase as being eligible for a donation or a commission. That's the word I'm looking for me. So thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers as well. Let's pray, speaking of prayer, and then we'll get on with the Mass readings for today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we are so blessed to be in your presence right now. Often we forget that. We go through the day, we get distracted, we're running around here and there. We can't see you with our eyes. So unless we think about it, we easily can forget the fact that you're always with us no matter where we go. Father, you love us unconditionally. Your mercy is infinite. That's another thing that we often forget. Thank you for forgiving us so many times. Thank you for always helping us to do good. We may not always appreciate your help, but we realize that everything that happens in our life somehow can draw us closer to you and help us to get to heaven. Help us to get better at accepting the unpleasant things that happen to us. Father, thank you for all the creation around us. Thank you for allowing our body to function as miraculously as it does. Thank you for a gift of another day. Thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. Father, help those who are sick today. Help those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who may be struggling with doubt or despair, those who are battling addiction, those who are dealing with religious persecution, those who are dealing with financial problems. Help those who are lost, who don't know you. Please call out to them, reach out to them, and let us know what we can do to help them. Father, we present to you our own needs, whatever they may be. We know that you can handle them in the best way possible, and we trust you to do that. I give you this program. I ask you to speak through me today. Allow me to step aside and open our minds and our hearts so we can be receptive to your message. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please bring about peace in the world, an end to terrorism, an end to abortion. And please help our government officials to follow your law and not their own personal agenda. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Dominic, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Always good to know, isn't it, that we can turn to the Lord in prayer, and that He's always listening to us. That doesn't happen with our friends sometimes. You know, they're half listening, and we do that with people too, honestly. Sometimes we only half listen. Well, every time you speak to the Lord, you've got His undivided attention. That's hard for us to comprehend, because what do? We look at God as being human sometimes. We give Him human attributes, and that's understandable, because He's God. We have a limited capacity to understand His greatness. But just know that He loves you as if you're the only person in the world. So when you turn to Him in prayer, He really cares. He's really paying attention. And to make things even better, He has control over the universe. Just because He doesn't answer your prayer in the exact way that you requested, and that He doesn't do it as fast as you would like, doesn't mean that He can't do it, or that He doesn't care. We've got to get over thinking like that, because that's going to get us into trouble. Often He delays, or He says no, because what we're asking for is not the right thing for us. It's not really going to help us in a spiritual way, or the time isn't right. And that's where the maturity, spiritual maturity, is so important. It takes time, doesn't it? It takes us time to become spiritually mature. I know myself, I want what I want, and I want it now. And the Lord's really patient with us, but just continue to walk with Him, continue to ask for the grace to be able to trust Him, and you'll see it will get easier. My name is Gary Zimak. Welcome to the program. We do this show every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to the podcast on TuneIn Radio or iTunes. It's free of charge, no matter where you listen to it. If you want to find out more about the work that I do, I'm a full-time Catholic speaker and author. You can visit my website, followingthetruth.com, if you would like to bring me out to your parish. You can find out the information on the website as well, followingthetruth.com. Okay, today's saint, we celebrate the memorial of Saint Dominic. Saint Dominic was born in Spain, and he was ordained an Augustinian canon. For many years, he worked zealously to convert Christians in France who had strayed into the Albigensian heresy. Nights were spent in prayer and contemplation of Scripture. Days were spent in the preaching of the Word. There, later, Thomas Aquinas expressed this characteristic rhythm of Dominican life: to contemplate and to give to others the fruits of contemplation. Think about that. That's really deep. The as described by St. Thomas Aquinas, the characteristic of Dominican life: to contemplate and to give others the fruits of contemplation. Pretty cool. Pope Honorius III approved the foundation of the Order of Preachers in 1216. Dominic also founded an Order of Contemplative Nuns in 1206. He died in 1221. So St. Dominic, please pray for us. And that's why, if you have run across Dominican sisters or priests, they have OP at the end of their name. That stands for the Order of Preachers. They're known for their preaching. Okay, let's look at these readings now. These are from Monday of the 19th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading, we look at the book of the prophet Ezekiel. We begin at the beginning, chapter 1, beginning in verse 2 of Ezekiel. On the fifth day of the fourth month of the fifth year, that is, of King Jehoiakim's exile, the word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. There the hand of the Lord came upon me. As I looked, a storm wind came from the north, a huge cloud with flashing fire enveloped in brightness, from the midst of the fire, something gleamed like electrum. Within it were figures resembling four living creatures that looked like this. Their form was human. Then I heard the sound of their wings like the roaring of mighty waters, like the voice of the Almighty. When they moved, the sound of the tumult was like the din of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Above the firmament over their heads, something like a throne could be seen, looking like sapphire. Upon it was seated up above. one who had the appearance of a man. Upward from what resembled his waist, I saw what gleamed like electrum. Downward from what resembled his waist, I saw what looked like fire. He was surrounded with splendor. Like the bow which appears in the clouds on a rainy day was the splendor that surrounded him. Such was the vision of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So we look at the beginning of the book of the prophet Ezekiel, and we see a pretty elaborate representation of the glory of the Lord. Now, one of the problems that you and I encounter every day is being unable to appreciate just how powerful, how glorious, and how immense God really is, right? We can't comprehend him. We could try. We could really try to contemplate and to meditate upon how powerful and how glorious and how incredibly beautiful he is, but we're only going to get so far. One day, we will see him face to face, but for now, we've got to struggle through it. So just take the message from this first reading. Let's keep it simple. Take the message that the Lord is powerful. He can do anything in your life. He's magnificent, and we can praise him for his glory, even though we can't fully appreciate it. Sometimes, I remember when I was in Tampa, Florida recently, I was driving across the bridge from Tampa into Clearwater, and I had the bay, Tampa Bay, on either side of me, and it was a beautiful day, and there were palm trees lining the road. When I drove that road, I got a sense of the splendor of the Lord through his creation. I've also driven through the mountains. When I was speaking up in Steubenville at Franciscan University, I've driven through the mountains driving from New Jersey to Ohio. And again, I saw that magnificence, the fact that God created these things. It's a mere glimpse into just how powerful and glorious he is. But through creation, that's one of the ways that we can appreciate the just how magnificent and powerful Almighty God is. He's bigger than all of your problems, that's for sure. So keep that in mind. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. That's the responsorial psalm for today. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all you his angels. Praise him, all you his hosts. Let the kings of the earth and all peoples, the princes and all the judges of the earth, young men too and maidens, old men and boys, praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above heaven and earth. And he has lifted up the horn of his people. Be this his praise from all his faithful ones, from the children of Israel, the people close to him. Alleluia. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. And I think one of the ways that you can better appreciate the Lord's presence in your life is to really look at nature. Look at the things around you. Just spend a few minutes. Think about how your human body functions, how the heart works in conjunction with the brain and the lungs, and how you were created by God. And when we look at nature and we take the time to really pause and reflect on it, think about, Lord, you created the oceans. You created the mountains. You created me. It's just amazing how incredibly powerful the Lord is. But we need to spend the time to really reflect on it, because otherwise we are going to simply overlook a lot of things. You don't want to do that. You really don't. So let's look at the gospel now. Matthew 17, verses 22 through 27. As Jesus and his disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Does not your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," he said. When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, "What is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" When Peter said, "From foreigners," Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you." One of the great messages that I've always extracted from this gospel passage, and I really like this one because this is a detail that is, this little story here is unique to Matthew's gospel, is the fact that especially if you're struggling with money, the fact that Jesus has command over money, it's all his. He's got lots of money. Somebody once told me, Mother Teresa said, the Lord has lots of money. So it's really something to keep in mind. It all belongs to him. People may not realize it, but it does. So the mere fact that he said to Simon Peter, go get, take out the first fish you find and open its mouth up and there'll be a coin in there. I mean, that tells us two things, that not only does he have, the Lord has have command over material things, he's got command over nature as well. How did the coin get in the fish's mouth? I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? That's what I mean about taking the time to really appreciate how God speaks to us through nature. And if we get used to that, this is key, if we get used to doing that on a regular basis each day, the more you do it, the more you will be prone to looking at a tree, for instance, and saying, wow, thank you, Lord. Or it just calls to mind the Lord. You look at a beautiful sunrise. You look at the sky. You see the rain come down. And all of these events begin to call your mind to the Lord and to realize his goodness and how he provides for us. Because if you don't do that, what's going to happen is you're going to probably start focusing too much on your problems. And look, we've all been there. We all tend to do that sometimes. And you lose sight of the big picture. The big picture is your Heavenly Father loves you, and that he's taking care of you, and that he's with you, and that you're not alone. That's the big picture. That's what you need to remember. That's reality. Sometimes people will tell you, oh, you're not being realistic if you trust in the Lord, if you're really standing on your faith and stepping out in faith. Well, no, you're being realistic. They're not being realistic because they're denying the Lord's presence in our lives. And that's the key. He is present in our life. And he wants to help you today. He wants to help you specifically. So please keep that in mind. Let's talk about another way that God reveals himself to us. Because honestly, we can only grasp so much of God's revelation through our intellect. So he's got to tell us some things. Otherwise, we would never understand them. One of the ways that he reveals himself to us is through sacred scripture or the Bible. I'm using now the Question and Answer Catholic Catechism, but published by Father John Hardin. This came out in the, I think it was 1980. This was before the church put out a new catechism. Father Hardin did a really good job. He's a very holy priest. He is a very very well respected scholar, theologian. He died in the mid 90s, I believe. You can still get this book. There's a question and answer version. And there is a more detailed Catholic Catechism, which is a more of a textbook by Father Hardin. You can still get both of those. Let's look at some of these questions about how God reveals himself to us through the pages of the Bible. Where do we find the truths revealed by God? We find the truths revealed by God in sacred scripture with sacred tradition. Both sacred scripture and sacred tradition are the inspired words of God. Both are forms of divine revelation. Sacred scripture is divinely inspired writing, whereas sacred tradition is the unwritten word of inspired persons. Today we're going to look at sacred scripture. We'll look more closely at tradition, maybe next week when we have more time. But what is another name for the sacred scriptures? Another name for the sacred scriptures is the Bible, which literally means the writing or the book. It is therefore the written word of God, composed under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is why we are told in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is inspired by God. It's one of those facts that, and you'll hear me say it often because I really believe in it and I want to make sure you know it, that every time you open up the Bible, you're hearing God speak to you. Now, you still can misinterpret it. That's why it's important to also be familiar with sacred tradition, which essentially is the teaching of the church, so that you know the proper way to interpret what you read in the Bible. Why should the Bible be called the Word of God? It should be called the Word of God because God so directs the mind, will, and other faculties of the sacred writer that he says only what God wants him to write and no more. And that's sometimes challenging because you're going to see all kinds of different literary forms used in the Bible, and you'll see it was written by a number of different authors. It's going to sound different. You've got to understand some background information about the time in which it was written in order to be able to understand the message fully. But it's written by God. The writers were inspired by the Lord to write what they did. Is God therefore the author of the Bible? Yes, God is the author of the Bible. I remember the first time I heard that, a priest was going to a Bible study one time, and a priest said, "Who wrote the Bible?" "God wrote the Bible." And I thought, wow, I never thought about that before. Again, that's one of those little facts that we can easily overlook. And when anyone says, "God never speaks to me," if that person reads the Bible, that is not a true statement. God speaks to each one of us. Is God the only author of the Bible? No, God is not the only author of the Bible. The human writer is also responsible for the Bible. How is the human writer also responsible for the Bible? The human writer is also responsible for the Bible because God does not interfere with his freedom or other distinctively human and personal qualities. Is the Bible therefore both a divine and human writing? Yes, the Bible is divine insofar as it's inspired by God and human insofar as it was written by a human being. Does the Bible contain any errors? No, the books of the Bible firmly, faithfully, and without error teach that truth which God, for the sake of our salvation, wished to confide to sacred scripture. But here's the thing you got to remember. You have to take the Bible as a whole. You can't extract one verse in the Bible and say, "Oh, look, this is what it says," and read it in a vacuum. You can't do that. So, yes, there are no errors in the Bible, but you've got to take the entire Bible as a whole. How is the Bible to be interpreted? The Bible is to be interpreted in the spirit in which it was produced. As a divinely inspired document, it must be treated with the reverence due to the Word of God. As a humanly written document, it may be studied as a literary composition. On both levels, however, it must be interpreted according to the mind and directives of the hierarchical church. How is the Bible divided? I mean, you're going to see Father Hardin really breaks these questions down into some very simple answers. So a lot of this you know already, but it's good to refresh our memories. The Bible is divided into the Old and the New Testaments. What is the Old Testament? The Old Testament is the covenant which God made with the Israelites. As inspired writing, it is that part of Revelation which is set down in the Scriptures written before the time of Christ. What was the covenant that God made with the Israelites? The covenant of God with the Israelites was his promise to bless them as his chosen people if they remained faithful to his commands. Now, we all know they strayed a number of times, but the Lord, in his mercy, would always call them back. Sometimes that calling back was not the gentlest process in the world, but he didn't want them to stray. He wanted them to stay close to him. Let's face it, the same thing happens with us. A lot of times when the Lord wants to get our attention, he's got to slap us around a little bit. But that's good. We want that. I mean, look, we don't want it, but we can be stubborn sometimes, and we need that. How many books are there in the Old Testament? There are 46 books in the Old Testament. How does the number of books differ in the Catholic and Protestant Bibles? Most Protestant Bibles have 7 fewer books than the Old Testament, namely Tobit, Judith, Wisdom, Ecclesiasticus, Baruch, 1st and 2nd Maccabees. These books were removed from the Bible on the grounds that their biblical character had been disputed in early Christian times, but they are included in the Catholic Bible because the Church under the popes has always considered them divinely inspired. How are the Old Testament and New Testament related? God, who is the author of the Bible, has so related the two testaments that the new should be hidden in the old, and the old should become manifest in the new. How many books are there in the New Testament? The New Testament scriptures contain 27 books, which, by the way, is the same in Catholic and Protestant Bibles. What is the most eminent part of sacred scripture? The most eminent part of sacred scriptures is the Gospels. And that's all I have time for. I mean, some basic stuff, but I bet you learned a thing or two from that little lesson. I've got to run. God willing, I'm going to be back from tomorrow. Remember, I'm traveling back from Boston, so in the event I don't get to do a show tomorrow. Don't panic. I'll be back on Wednesday. But for the moment, I'll see you on Tuesday. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.